You are now listening to an awesome sermon from the St. Louis Dream Center. Grab a pen and some paper. You're in for a treat.
There's a story of a man named Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz's homeland was Puerto Rico back around the 1950s. Nicky Cruz was born to a witch, and his father and his mother practiced demonic activity. His father would lock him in a room naked with pigeons just to punish him. His mother would abuse him, and this young Nicky grew up, and his family migrated to New York. And when they moved to New York, this young Nicky, who was abused and misused as a child, became hard in his heart. And he became one of the top gang leaders in New York when his family moved to New York. He would think nothing about killing somebody because the pain that he had experienced, he didn't care about inflicting that pain on somebody else. One day, Nicky, with his crew, are out, and a man by the name of David Wilkerson approaches Nicky and begins to tell Nicky about this Jesus who had saved David's life and radically changed him. Nicky didn't want to hear anything about it, kind of dismissed it and ignored him. But he couldn't ignore a statement that David would make just a few moments later. David would say, "If you cut me into 1,000 pieces, I would love you with every piece." Nicky, hearing that statement, jacked him up because he had never experienced such love. And over the next 2 weeks, he and his gang began going to David's meetings, and he got saved and became radicalized for Jesus. And like, come on, yeah, that's because that's how this thing works. And he became so radical for Jesus that he joined Teen Challenge and helped lead a Teen Challenge, and then went on to get married and have his own kids. But this, if you looked at Nicky in his impotent state of not knowing God, you would never imagine that he would ever be saved. We look at our world right now and it's a mess. We can't watch TV without the enemy's influence. We can't go to the store without the enemy's influence. Our neighborhoods are being ravaged by murder and fear and all of these things that we walk through on a daily basis. And Jesus makes this incredible statement thousands of years before, where he's looking at the state of the villages and the sickness and the disease and everything that's around them. And he walks into the village and he's healing everybody that has the belief that he can do so. But he makes this statement, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." But our churches are filled with people every single week that come in and sing songs, and we lift our hands and we cry out to God, "Meet my gas bill, meet my light bill, bring my marriage back together." But the harvest is plentiful. Where are the workers? We are distracted by our own causes and our own desires, and we see church as a place to come to just to get filled up to go live our lives next week. Today, God wants to activate his church, not activate to become activist alone, but activate to become kingdom harvesters and laborers for this world that we live in. He tells us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in the way of life, marking them by the baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then he says, instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you, and know that I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth. Then you go in Mark chapter 16, and he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They'll drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. Because when there is a believer, there should be a train of something, of fruit or signs that follow you. And the sign isn't just the big house, and it isn't just the great marriage, and it isn't just the great kids. There should be a mark everywhere that you go. And that mark is not that I have my Bible. That mark is not that everybody hears me listening to worship music. That mark is that when I walk into an environment, something shifts. Something changes. See, when Jesus said he commissioned us, he said that the word commissioned means to send. To go forth. So when we talk about the Great Commission, he's not talking about just the great invitation. Come to church. He's talking about the Great Commission. Go get them and bring them to church. And this is not to grow the Dream Center or grow any church. He left this for his church to grow his kingdom. He tells us in John chapter 14, 12 and 13, in solemn truth I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same miracle, say same, the same miracles I've done, and even greater ones, because I'm going to the Father. Wait, this is Jesus, because it's in red. He says, anyone. No, he meant some people. People that have never done anything wrong. People that have lived perfect lives. People that don't have children out of wedlock. People that have never been divorced. People that have never been on drugs. People that have never sinned and never made a mistake and never made a stupid decision. Oh, that's who he's talking. He said, no. Anyone who believes in me shall do the same miracles that I did, because I go unto my Father. See, God didn't save you to attend church. He saved you to be the church. He saved you and I to be the ecclesia, the sent out ones, the ones, the called out ones. That's what he saved us to be. And anytime you can go to church on Sunday and live like everything else Monday through Saturday, you are not fulfilling your kingdom assignment. And you wonder, why is my life a mess? Why isn't this working right? Why isn't my job situation changed? Why am I not healed yet? Why is my heart so broken? Because you were never saved just for you. You were saved for something greater. And when you walk out your kingdom assignment, he says that all the other things shall be added to you. You don't get the things first. You get the assignment first. We've made church about the building. We've made church about the lights, the stage, the cameras, the screens, the drummer, the organist, the people. Church is not about the building. Church is about Jesus living inside his people, being the church everywhere they go. If your church experience stops inside of these walls, you are nothing more than an ornament on a Christmas tree. You're not doing anything. I'm not coming to beat you up. I'm coming to activate you today. Because We have to, in Bible college, they teach us when you're preaching, you have to make sure you give them a what about me? Because our natures are intrinsically, our sinful nature, our human nature is intrinsically selfish. So I could preach a message about saving the world, but for some of us, that won't really connect, because what does saving the world have to do with blessing me? They teach us that in Bible college. I'm going to bypass that right now, because I believe that this church is better than that. I believe that we have a group of sold out followers for Jesus Christ. And we're not just worried about what's in it for us. We're worried about what's in it for the lover of our souls, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace and Mighty God. We're in it not for us, but for Him. Church without walls. Do you realize that most of the miracles that were done by Jesus and by the disciples didn't happen at church? Didn't happen in a temple? Didn't happen in a building like this? We come to service and we want to, yeah, I want to see people healed, set free, and delivered in church service, because it's healed and set free people that can go out and heal and set free other people. But when we make our church experience about coming in and falling out or getting touched or doing something else, we have missed what we're here for. We come to church to be equipped and empowered to take this gospel that can heal, deliver, and set free outside of the walls to your coworkers and your neighbors and your kids, parents on the teams that they play. We come here to learn how to live holy and walk out sanctification and learn how to live by faith, so that when we walk outside of these walls into the mission field, we know how to live for real. Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood outside of church. He healed the two blind men outside of the temple. He fed the 5,000 outside of the temple. He healed the man who'd been sick or a paraplegic for 38 years, that was outside of church. He raised Lazarus from the dead outside of church. And the come up of all come ups is he was raised from the dead outside of a worship service. Because God gave us gifts and ability not just to have fun and enjoy it in here, but so we can exercise those things out there. Can I just ask you, when is the last time you prayed for somebody in a wheelchair? When is the last time you saw someone struggling and you went to help them? See, we put on our great faces in here, have on our nice clothes. I mean, my wife outfitted me pretty nice today. Thank you, baby. I feel good. But she was joking with me on the way here, because she was like, man, if people pulled up to our car, they'd be like, they would look at her and be like, we going to church. And they would look at me in the driver's seat, and, well, he got that baseball cap on. Where is he going? Because when I leave this place, my title of pastor doesn't matter. I am a son of the living God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I don't want anything and everything. I don't want anything in me to be an obstacle to somebody receiving this gospel. So I want to be like they are, because I was like they are. And somebody that was like I was came up to me and gave me this gospel. We are the antidote to what ails our city. And when we think about our walk with God is not just to go to heaven. Our walk is to bring heaven into the earth. And he doesn't do it anymore through those apostles. Jesus isn't coming back to do it himself. He is commissioned. He has deputized us with his authority and his ability. And he not only says we'll do it the way that he did it, he said you'll do greater things than I did. He brought us, he saved us, he left us for kingdom advancement. You realize throughout the Bible, that God has always been about taking territory. When in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, he tells Adam, he says, hey, you are in my image and my likeness. Now go subdue. Subdue means to take dominion, take authority, control the land. He tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I need you to go to a place that you don't even know where you're going, because I'm sending you to take back a land or a territory that the enemy thought was his, but I'm taking back for mine. He says in Joshua 3 and 23, he says, I want you all to go across the Jordan River, because I'm going to give you the territory that I promised Moses and your ancestors to give to you. God is always about sending a group of people to go out to take back what's rightfully ours and what's already his. He says, I'm sending you out, Joshua, and I want you to drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gigasites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. And he says to the church, I am calling you into the neighborhoods to get rid of the povertyites and the sickites and the lack of educationites and the lack of fear and the fearfulites and the murderites and the brokennessites. Because God always looks to take back the territory that he originally gave to us when he created us. So then the church is set to take back the territory that the enemy has thought was his for years. And the question is, for all of us, how do we do it? How do we do when we're distracted by what's going on with our kids, by what's going on with our jobs, by what's going on with our health, by what's going on with our house? Can I just say this to you? Everything that is wrong with you is a smokescreen for what's right with you. Everything that is wrong with you in this season, it is because the enemy wants to get you so distracted with what's going on. He is playing three-card Molly with you, so you're focusing on, and when you go fix this problem, another problem comes up over here. And when you go fix that problem, another problem comes up over here. And you make statements like, man, if it ain't one thing, it's... Because as long as I can get you focused on the natural, I can keep you away from the supernatural. As long as I can get you focused on, well, how my bills going to be taken care of, or what's going on with my kids, when my body's acting like this, well, they wilding out on my job. And the enemy moves you from one issue and one problem to the next problem and to the next issue. And the last thing you can think about is your call or what God has called you to do, because you can't see that paying your bills. Are fixing the issue. And he has you right where he wants you. But if we're going to take this church that's in us and bring it outside of these walls, there has to be a shift in the way that we see life, that we are not here in and of ourselves, but we've been sent on a mission to go proclaim this gospel of the kingdom everywhere that we go. And my God, I wish I could just take my head off and put it in yours, because if you could see it, that when you focus on the kingdom, God will take care of everything else in your life. You don't have to worry about where the money is coming from, because you're in the kingdom. We got a king, and our king is rich. He is not suffering for money or anything. He says, if I told you to go, don't you know I'm going to pay for it? But we're so focused on us that we miss out on what he has for us. And so here are a couple of things that I want to give you to help you in understanding and being able to operate in your kingdom call, so that we can go outside the borders of these walls. Number one, you must understand every person is a minister. Every person is a minister. But Pastor Tony, I don't have a call. No, no, no. Every person is a minister. Come on, say it to yourself. Say, I'm a minister. Now listen, don't go get business cards printed and all of that. You know, slow down. That's a teaching next month for gifts. But every single one of us is a minister. What is a minister? A minister is a servant. We are called to serve. And in that place of service, God has given us gifts and given us abilities and given us how-tos to go out and serve with the thing that he's placed inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. See, minister is not a title. It's an expression. And when we walk out of these doors, we have to understand that when we walk outside of this building, we are ministers of the gospel, no matter what your title is, no matter where you come from, no matter how bad your life has been. Just a couple of things on this. Every person is a minister. Every task is important. And every person is a 10 somewhere. Every person in this room is a 10 somewhere. If you try and compare yourself to somebody else, you'll always get jacked up. But the simple fact that you are breathing is evident that God has given you a gift. He's given you an ability. And that ability is specifically for you. It is uniquely crafted for you. And you are a 10 somewhere. You're like, but I'm horrible at math. You're not a 10 at math. Well, I'm bad at this. You're not a 10 at that. But when you stop focusing on what you're messed up in and start seeking God about what you're right in, he will begin to show you what you're attending. There are people that will listen to you that will never listen to me because of what God's put inside of you. The second thing you have to understand is I must understand what I have. See, when you look at Peter and John and the sick, lame man who was outside the temple, knowing he wanted money, they understood that there was something more valuable than money. They didn't just sit back and say, oh, man, let's see. I don't have anything for you today. Sorry about that man on the corner with the sign that I see all the time. But they knew what they had. They knew they had the name of Jesus. They knew they had the blood of Jesus. They knew they had access to the angels. They knew that they had the power of God inside of them. And since they knew what they had, when they looked at him and they said, listen, bro, we don't have silver and gold, but we got something better for you than that. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Here's the thing. What you value will determine what you think you have to give. If you value God and his spirit and his power, even when you don't have the natural, you know you're working with the supernatural. But when you value money or things more than God, you will always think that you have nothing to give. Can I say, you always have something to give in every situation, in every circumstance. Why? Because the greater one lives inside of you. I love this statement by Bill Johnson. It says that in my own pursuit of God, I often became preoccupied with me. It was easy to think that being constantly aware of my faults and weaknesses, that was humility. It's not. I'm the main subject, talking incessantly about my weaknesses. I have entered into the most subtle form of pride. That when I focus on my weaknesses and the things that I can't do, I'm actually not being humble, I'm being prideful. But when I focus on the strength of God and what he can do, I'm walking in humility. See, I just blew somebody's mind right there. Because you thought talking about how messed up you were, how lost you were, how little you have to offer was like this badge of honor saying that I have humility operating inside. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody Who can change anybody? All of my friends from other ethnicities are like, what? So just. No, you have a caveat with your I'm nothing. Your past does not make you nothing. Your mistakes doesn't make you anything. You are nothing without God in your life. And this is what I've learned to say with myself. Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. I can't breathe. I can't think. I can't live. But in you, there is nothing impossible to me because I believe in your strength and your ability and your way to make things happen. So when God tells you to go, he's not telling you to go in your own strength. He's telling you to go in the name that is above all names, in the spirit that trumps every spirit. He's saying, every time you tell me no, because you don't think you're good enough, you need to repent because you're in pride. I gotta understand what I have. And what I have is Jesus. He's operating in me. And then the last one. I must know my source. I must know my source. See, I am not my source. My job is not my source. My bank account is not my source. My wife is not my source. Joyce Meyer Ministries is not the source. They are all a resource that God uses as the source decides how to put things into my life. See, when you take your eyes off of everything else and say, God, you are my source. Everything else is a resource. That means when you're looking for the money to come, oh, it's not coming this way. Which way are you sending it, God? Obviously, you got another way of bringing it, because if you didn't bring it this way, since you're my source, it's coming another way. But here's the other thing. When I know who my source is, I understand that the Holy Spirit is the source of everything good that I do in this world. And he is the one that gives me the ability and the capability to carry out what God is telling me to do, even when I don't think I'm capable of doing it. When I look in and say, no, it's because of you, Holy Spirit. God, if you're telling me to do it, then Holy Spirit, give me the strength, the ability, and the boldness to step out in this moment and do what you're telling me to do. I can't rely on my intellect or my education. I am desperately dependent on you. And when I understand that you're my source, then the pursuit of my life is to stay connected to my source. See, this world is dark. And because of the darkness in this world and people that don't know God, they are lost. And you have the answer to what they need. But here's the problem. In this dark world, and guys, let's bring the lights down. We take the light that God has given us, and we hide it inside these walls. Oh, there's a light. But it's covered up by these four walls. And what happens when we cover our light is we feel like we're in as much darkness as they are. But when we take the light that God has given us and we say, you know what, Lord? I'm going outside the boundaries of these walls. I'm taking this light to my job, to my school, to my neighborhood, to the grocery store, to Walgreens, Shopping Save. I'm taking it everywhere that I go. And when we take this light, it shines bright into the life of everybody.
Hope you enjoyed that message. If you live in the St. Louis area or ever plan to visit, we'd love for you to join us at one of our services at 4324 Margaretta. At either our 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. Be blessed. We hope to worship with you soon.